South Sudan remains free of Ebola, but with outbreaks reported in neighboring DR Congo and Uganda, health authorities are stepping up preparedness to prevent the virus from entering the country. Now, this morning, we'll discuss what's being done to keep communities safe and what the public needs to know. Now, joining us is Mary Dennis, Director of Health Education and Promotion at the Minister of Health, Violette Ben-Maibo, Head of Programs at Hope Restoration South Sudan, and Stephen Kennedy Boji. He's a project manager at the Hope Restoration South Sudan. Good morning and welcome to the program, all.
Thanks for having us.
Right. Now, let me start with you, Mary. South Sudan has no confirmed cases, just as I alluded at the moment. Why is the Minister of Health treating this as an urgent public health priority?
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity, and I'm really privileged to be in Radio Miraya this morning. Even if South Sudan does not, have any case, but because we are neighboring, DRC and Uganda, these are our neighbors, and there is also movement of people, at the border. So for that reason, South Sudan is at very high risk.
Right.
Yes, that's right. Why we have to step up, do all measures to make sure that the disease is not imported into the country.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much. And let's come to Violette. The World Health Organization has warned that South Sudan faces a high risk of Ebola importation due to the outbreaks in the neighboring countries. What measures are currently in place to keep the country prepared?
Thank you so much and good morning. My name is Akchala Chiding. I work with the World Health Organization in the Emergencies Preparedness and Response Cluster. So to respond to your question, yes, South Sudan still remains at risk of importation of the Ebola virus. Just to give an overview, a situational overview of what's happening in the region, in DRC, as of 16th of this month, we have recorded a confirmed number of cases. That's about 2,124 cases with about 828 deaths. These have been reported from 46 health zones in 5 provinces. In Uganda, on 16th, Uganda discharged their last patient, their last Ebola patient. So yeah. Uganda has entered into the 42-day enhanced surveillance period to count down and ensure that cases, if should they be imported, are detected early and responded to. South Sudan still remains with 0 cases of Ebola. We haven't detected any cases within South Sudan.
Right.
However, with the ongoing transmission in DRC Congo, we still remain at risk of importation from the neighboring countries.
So what measures do we have in place?
Yes, so the Ministry of Health, with support from WHO and other partners, have had measures put in place since the outbreak was declared. So we have had a couple of measures. I will take you through those in a minute, but just to bring to your attention that since May, we have had national readiness assessments just to look at what level of readiness we are at as a country and then put in measures to close some of these gaps. As of July, the latest readiness assessment shows that South Sudan has reached a 65% readiness level. This is an improvement from the 45% level of readiness that was recorded in June. So this means that we have had accelerated efforts put in terms of this readiness. However, we still have certain gaps that we must put in place.
What does that mean practically?
This means that in terms of surveillance, we have expanded surveillance even down to the community level. That is to ensure that we rapidly detect cases and respond to them as soon as we can. We have also been looking at different points of entries. We are doing screening of travelers, that is on the ground crossings as well as at Juba International Airport. On average, we are screening over 10,000 travelers per day. And this means that we are able to detect alerts should they come into the country from our neighbors. In terms of case management within the country, the 15 high-priority counties, we have also instituted and identified isolation units. We have also set up Ebola treatment units.
Right.
Should we have confirmed cases, we are able to actually treat them.
Right. And before my colleague comes in, Achai, maybe in your partnership with the Ministry of Health, have you looked at porous borders being also one of those issues we have currently in the country? And what solution have you come up with this?
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, South Sudan, we have an issue with porous borders, and we are looking at partnerships with a lot of these partners to look at these other smaller porous borders to put in place screening points at those borders such that we don't miss any travelers that may be coming through. Again, to add on to that, whoever is missed from these borders, we have a robust surveillance system within the country such that even at community level, if an alert is raised, it is reported immediately, and we have our surveillance teams respond to those to ensure that investigation is conducted.
You talked about 15 high-priority counties.
Yes.
Tell us more. Which counties are that?
These are counties that are majorly bordering the DRC and Uganda. These are mainly within the Greater Equatorial Region. So within Central Equatoria, we have Yei, Morobo, Kajakeji, and Juba itself. Moving on to Western Equatoria, we have Nzara, Iba, and a lot of...
okay,
it's a whole list of...
All right, it's fine. Let's bring in Stephen from Hope Restoration South Sudan. Well, we understand your organization is supporting preparedness efforts. What exactly is your organization doing in the communities?
Yeah, thank you for having us. Like I said, my name is Stephen Kennedy. As a part of this preparatory aspect, what we are doing, together with it's okay.
Yes, Kennedy.
Now I can now get it very clear. As part of the preparatory aspect or preparatory, together with National Minister of Health, then WHO, UNICEF, Hope Restoration is implementing 45 days anti-spiratory awareness project. This is basically in Juba and Numele. What we are looking at, giving out awareness in major markets like Konyo-Konyo. We have also custom. The same also in
Numele. That already started?
Yeah, actually it has started. Now we have spent like 25 days. Like we have like 10 days to conclude what we are doing currently.
And what's the people's response?
The response is very good, and people are very happy to hear about Ebola, even though they ask a lot of questions that basically Ebola is not in South Sudan. What are we doing? We are saying that we are doing that because we want to ensure that now that people are prepared. In case there's one case, we can be able to respond. And also, Hope Restoration South Sudan is not working alone. Together with Comfort and Trocare and support from Star Network, this is how we are operating, and we have done a lot, and we will also continue to do more. Thank you.
Right, thank you. Let's come to Madam Mary. Many people still confuse Ebola symptoms with other common illnesses. What are the warning signs that people should be looking out for?
Yeah, thank you very much. Ebola, it's just like malaria. It starts just like malaria, fever, fatigue, and, vomiting, things like that. So we are telling, the communities that if you suspect somebody or suspect yourself of having the fever, like, sudden onset of fever, and then fatigue, and then muscle pains, sore throat, you need to, to report immediately. And we have a Minister of Health hotline. 6666.
Right.
Yes, they should call and then they will be advised.
Right. Yeah. And of course, in this set of, high preparedness, there's always rumors and misinformation. And these often spread so fast as even how the disease would spread. How are you working with the communities to ensure people receive accurate information and avoid this panic?
Yeah. First of all, the communities have to have the information. Yeah, in order to avoid the rumors and misinformation and myths and so on. So what we do is we make sure that, you know, the communities get the right information through radio talk shows like what we are doing now. And then also we have awareness, you know, going on like community meetings, community dialogues, you know. And also, you know, the communities down there, they're also collecting rumors. For instance, some of the rumors are saying that South Sudan is very hot, so this
will not survive
here. Will not come. Or God is with us. We are suffering. God will always be with us.
Right.
Yeah.
And Madam Mary, just hold that thought there. We'll come back to you on giving us more of the rumors that are out there and how you will debunk them. Let's listen to the news headlines and we'll be back with our conversation.
Breakfast Show News Headlines.
A very good morning. It's 8:30 a.m. The South Sudan National Youth Leadership Peace and Security Forum is expected to convene in Juba today. In a press statement, the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, says that the forum will provide an inclusive platform for young leaders to exchange experiences, strengthen partnerships, and contribute to shaping national priorities. A civil society activist, Edmond Yakani, has welcomed the position taken by the Catholic bishop on the country's preparedness to hold elections as scheduled in December 2026. While a member of the National Nations Commission, Tabu Abach, Adang says citizens should contest at all levels in the upcoming elections without any discrimination. Well, that's it for the news headlines. Good morning. You are listening to the Mirayah Breakfast Show. And this is where the nation's big conversations begin every morning.
All right, let's get back to our conversation. Yes, Mary, you were telling us about issues to do with the people, the rumors,
the semis,
you know.
So is it true that our son...
Because this is sometimes what we also hear from the streets or whatever.
Well, we actually referred to COVID. We told them, now, you said this country is very hot. Mm. How did COVID come, you know, to this country?
Mm.
You know, that one is not true. And you should be vigilant that, you know, this disease can come to us unless, you know, you follow this, you know, the prevention measures, which we give them, you know, in form of trainings. We train the community mobilizers. We train also the traditional healers because people go to them looking for, you know, treatment, like herbs and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also we have developed, you know, like culturally appropriate awareness, you know, materials, IC materials, including messages that, you know, we make sure that those messages reach the communities.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also involving the leaders, you know, the influential people.
Mm-hmm.
Like recently I went to Yambio. I was able to meet the king of the Azande.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very influential because, you know, he works with the, you know, the chiefs and, you know, those organized, you know, communities, and they are able to reach, I mean, to make sure that the communities get the right information.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yes, Achai, would you like to jump in on this, on the science facts when it comes to debunking these rumors?
All right. Thank you so much. Yes, the Ebola virus, it is the Bundibujo Ebola virus, the current strain we're dealing with, it is unlike the usual that people know, because a lot of people, when asked what is Ebola, the first thing they talk about is, oh, someone bleeding from their mouth, from their nostrils, and all that. However, with the current strain, most of the signs and symptoms are, you can't differentiate them from the usual diseases that we have, like malaria, typhoid fever, the febrile illnesses, really.
So there's no any hemorrhaging?
There is, involved. But not in every patient. Not every patient will hemorrhage.
Right.
And that's not also an early sign that will come.
Mm.
So therefore, if we rely on the hemorrhaging, it will lead to a lot of misinformation, and it will lead to cases not actually being reported. And this leads to further spread should we have a confirmed case within South Sudan.
Right.
Mm.
Yes.
Stephen, your work, preparedness, your awareness that you're carrying out in the streets, in the custom, in the markets. How long are you going to continue with that as an organization?
Yeah, actually, unfortunate. The support is very short. Like I said, 45 days awareness.
And the remaining five?
Not actually five, like 10 days, I can say that.
Right.
So basically, we'll be continuing for this remaining part of the days. And as for now, we have also mobilizers on ground also. They are collecting the same rumors, and these rumors can be used as a way of actually knowing the perception of the community.
Mm.
So basically, we'll know what they are thinking. As I said earlier on, the community are saying that South Sudan is very hot still.
Mm.
So what are we going to do by that? By having this such of kind of rumors, mm-hmm. what we do, we will find ways of how we can be able to do what? To improve our programming. So by now, then later on, in like 2 or 3 days, we are going to have a community engagement, clarifying to them clearly that Ebola actually can come to South Sudan, because it is a virus, and virus normally stays in the body of human beings.
Okay, yeah. Thank you so much. As we conclude, Madam Mary, what simple preventive measures should every South Sudanese household adapt to?
First of all, the most important is washing of hands frequently, you know, at critical times. And, you know, sometimes our people, they don't take it serious.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we make sure that, you know, we tell them to wash their hands.
So what are those critical times?
For instance, before eating food, after using the toilet, after touching the surfaces and all this, they need to wash their hands. And also, we are telling them to avoid eating fruits that have been eaten by either, you know, bats or, you know, birds and so on. They should not eat anything that has been eaten. They have also to avoid shaking of hands, and especially if, you know, for now they're saying, oh, we don't have Ebola.
Yeah.
Said, but we need also to start, you know.
So, Munkin Belara became on the preventative measures.
I, Al-Muhim, Nihna Derin, Ashan Nas Bitana, Al-Public, Ashan Yarfinu, عشان بولا ما هي جينا إن لازم نغسل يدينا بموية وصابون موية نظيف ما صابون كل الزمن وما نأكل برضو الفواكه اللي بكون أكله بالطير عشان ممكن احتمال الطير يمكن عنده فيروس ما وبكتو في الفواكه ده وبرضو إنه بيقول إنه كل الناس برضو ما يعني ما يأكل لحم بتاع غابة Right. Yeah, yeah, I have gabade I want the can hai ayan wala kida I fa de how hajad bin gulu kaman kalam ina de nasi sallim bi yedda I taban de biga ina de bitana yani
safa yes ma Mary just to be you know we have to also be practical you know I am at the asar bita hajad folk buying soap is now becoming a luxury, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that we can use in our homes, Zaid Sabun?
Wallahi, aki taban we are dealing with virus. Virus de aja yani mungkin ma be mut besura. Zaman bita cholera, taban cholera de bacteria mushira. Binugula mungkin testamel rumat. Lakin ma virus de we don't know.
Osul sabun.
Aye, lazim ilo besabun.
No. Okay, thank you. Achai, what is your message to the people?
Thank you. My message to the people is to follow the preventive measures. Wash your hands with soap and water. Handle bushmeat safely.
Mm-hmm.
That is including cooking it properly.
How do we handle it?
Yes, safely? Cook it properly. After handling it, you need to wash your hands again with soap and water. Please do not touch dead animals. When in our communities, people go for funerals
hands,
and what? Yes, exactly. So when people attend funerals, be careful. You may not know the cause of death. It's important to ensure that you do not touch the dead body as well.
Right.
Especially should you know that this is a suspected case of Ebola. Yes. And also reporting to health facilities early, as well as the hotline, in case you suspect someone has signs and symptoms and have been treated for the usual causes of fever, but they have not recovered and they have history of travel outside the country.
Thank you, Achai. And before I come to Stephen, Madam Mary, briefly, in how long can the center respond when somebody dials that toll-free line?
Actually, the toll-free line is on because...
How responsive? How can people get answers when they call? Okay. Like, how long does it take?
There are people already there, okay, mm-hmm. that are attending to the phones. Mm-hmm. And there are so many phones and people are attending to it. So when people call, immediately somebody will pick up mm-hmm. the call and then from there it is referred. They have a watch desk and right. all this. Okay. And then, yeah, then
Thank
it's
you.
Responded to.
Yes, Stephen, what's your final remark?
Actually, my final remarks will be let's continue to maintain this culture of handwashing, even though we don't have it. Mm. Let's at least do something to ensure that we save ourselves. Also, the most important thing that all of us should know that South Sudan, actually, we do have a lot of porous borders point, and actually, this needs a lot of efforts. So we have cultural ties with the Congolese or even Uganda.
Yeah.
We do have relatives in the both end.
Right.
So the most important thing is surveillance on ground to ensure that in case if it is any other side and symptoms of Ebola, not only just bleeding, but also looking at this aspect of high fever, it can be reported to 666 four times. And
that's
also my final message,
right.
To ensure that Hope Restoration is also continuing to provide awareness and not forgetting who is supporting us, Carford and Trocare, with the major, with the funding from Star
All Network. Right. Well, Kennedy, Stephen Boji, we have also Achai Deng and also Mary Dennis. Thank you so much for your time. We do appreciate this. And it's just 19 minutes to the top of the hour. A very good morning. You are listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show. And this is where the nation's big conversations begin every morning. Yes, it is to be noted that South Sudan remains free of Ebola. But of course, we have to be prepared. All right.